Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you to Suzanne Rickard for the invitation to be here today. Delighted to be speaking at this CEDA function, and especially in the Hunter region. I'd like to talk about what we in the Bureau know or think we know about the Hunter, and I suspect this may be, to some extent, us learning about the Hunter region, trying to put it in, to some extent, a comparative context, and I hope that there have certainly been learnings for us in this, and I trust that there will be of interest to you. So some economic coordinates, essentially, and then to move on to the growth outlook for the key infrastructure links that, from a national perspective, we take a particular interest in, the AusLink network, so the two major highways, the rail freight issues, the coal supply chain, and to some extent also the links into Sydney. So if we can just start with population, taking a 10-year perspective, and this does end in 2006 because we essentially base our information on the census, 0.8% population growth, similar to the state at 0.9, and the high range, which we've heard about this morning already, 2.1% growth in Maitland at the high end to minus 0.8% in the Upper Hunter. And also the ageing pattern that we've heard about, replicating what's happening in the state and nationally. Only in Maitland, of the different statistical local areas that are shown there, only in Maitland over the period did the under 40s population increase over the decade. The blue charts, what we've got here, blue shows those parts of the region where 95% or more of the labour force were employed in 2006. And the yellow is where fewer than 90% were employed, and the green is in between. So you see that the employment rates are greatest in the mining and the rural areas, and lower in the coastal areas, which obviously have larger, more diverse populations, more diverse economic base. And certainly that that pattern of high employment, conversely low unemployment, which you see in the mining and rural areas, is very typical of the national pattern. Employment growth, this slide courtesy of the Hunter Valley Research Foundation, obviously very strong growth over the decade, starting from a low base, I suppose. Unemployment was over 7% 10 years ago, which was higher than the national average. You had the BHP steel closure in 1999, so it has been strong growth. No doubt people would like to see that stronger, but just important to keep that in mind. I showed you the employment rate chart a moment ago. This is simply the mirror image of that. So you see the blues, again, are the higher unemployment areas. So that shows inner Newcastle, which I think you can just see there. Again, this is at 2005, so this isn't right up to date. My apologies there. Inner Newcastle, 12%, Great Lakes, 11%, Cessnock, 10%. And the yellows, which are at the low end, are between 4% and 7%. Again, the lower unemployment rates are higher up higher up the valley. And unemployment by age group. 10 years ago, as I mentioned, you had those very high rates, particularly marked amongst younger people. Obviously, again, still higher than one would like, but now that the range is across those age groups is much less than it was at that time. Industry structure as measured by employment. I've said not major change there over the decade. I suppose in light of some of the conversations I've had since coming here yesterday, I'm not sure that that's perhaps completely right, because clearly you have seen some strong service sector growth over the period, and it clearly isn't the same region, I think, that it was 10 years ago. But nevertheless, you do see a lot of green on those charts, which is the in-between category, similar to the previous charts, so that with the blue in the Great Lakes there, that means that there's around a 10% change in the industry mix in the area. So clearly that's a greater, you can tell me more about that than I can tell you, but clearly it's a greater orientation towards services, tourism, and so forth. And the other areas, somewhat less change. And if we look, I'm sorry, those tags on the bottom will be probably not legible to you, but there has been that general shift that we see nationally, basically, from primary and secondary to service industries. So that mining, which was in 1996, and that is the second two bars from the left, has gone a 2 percentage point change from 6 percentage points to 4 percentage points. A similar sort of reduction in manufacturing. Also, I mean, some interesting shifts within the services sector, health and community services, which is, let's see, it's the fourth set of bars from the right. No, it's not. Actually, health and services has gone up, my apologies. Okay, well, that's good to see. But nevertheless, the main change is that the greater shift to services, which is very much a state and national trend. We have a database which tracks aggregate taxable income at sub-regional level. This chart has a lot to do really with population size, so that it shows that Lake Macquarie and Maitland within the regions have had the largest aggregate incomes throughout. In some ways, it's the strong upward movement that you see pretty much across the board there after 2000, which is of interest. And I just note that that chart does stop in 2004. However, real income per taxpayer at the individual level is highest in the mining areas, in the mining and rural areas. So that's the blue there, Singleton, Maitland, Muswellbrook. Income in the range of 52,000 to 54,000. Again, this is in 2004-05 per taxpayer. The yellow, the Great Lakes and Gloucester, between 39,000 and 43,000. And again, it's characteristic of mining regions across the country to have relatively high personal income. The Bureau will be releasing fairly soon a study into net worth across the country. And the Hunter Valley, as a region, at around $450,000 dollars per household, and obviously that's is quite close to the national average at $462,000, and that places it close to the top, in fact, of the non-metropolitan regions. I mean, the drivers of net worth are the cost of housing in an area, the age profile, so that older regions will have higher net worth, and obviously high net worth individuals and localities, and that factor with the cost of housing will always mean that the cities will have average net worth in the over 1 million. But nevertheless, Hunter overall is certainly not low, and you do see that the Great Lakes there is at the top of the top of the range in the Hunter, and that's the average net worth there is over 1.2 million per household. Conversely, Scone, Muswellbrook, Cessnock below 400,000. And again, the pattern of high wealth is what you expect to find in an area where the retiree population is large and growing, and conversely, the mining areas tending to have a younger population and comparatively low wealth, but as I noted a moment ago, a high income. Then if we just take a table there with the a comparative performance, the overall performance really is quite close to the state average now, which wasn't the case a decade ago, a little bit below in aggregate real taxable income growth over the decade to 2005, similar in population and also in unemployment. Sorry, that row at the bottom has shifted across. Okay. So let's turn to the transport infrastructure, some of the key transport infrastructure links, starting with the issue of coal. On the ABS figures, coal exports have been pretty flat over the decade. That's the green there. The other includes breakbulk tonnages, and including those, you get to about a 3% per average per annum growth. But coal, nevertheless, has been fairly flat. We've obviously heard about what is happening in the supply chain on the rail side, the coal terminals, and indeed the on the coal mining side. So clearly that will not be the picture in 10 years' time. But again, looking back, the Hunter now comprises about 27% of Australia's coal exports. A decade ago, it was nearly 40%. Now clearly, capacity constraints in the supply chain are not the sole factor behind that relative stagnation. You've seen substantial growth in their own right from mines and regions in Queensland, but clearly the supply chain issue has been an important one, and a great deal is happening at the present time to address that. So our projection for rail traffic growth, and that really is based on the information that we have on the longer term, the sort of the 25-year outlook for coal exports, comes to 2.3% growth in rail traffic, which is a strong rate of growth, and it's possible that may be conservative to meet the future export demand. Okay. So turning to another key area for rail and for freight in general, north-south intermodal, that's essentially containerized or palletized freight. There's obviously been strong policy interest from governments for many years in improving the performance of rail in the interstate freight market. The interstate freight market has been a very fast-growing one, over 4%, so that even a low rail mode share, and we do have a low rail mode share on the eastern seaboard, on a state-to-state basis, it's currently about 5% between New South Wales and Queensland, similar between New South Wales and Victoria. Even if that share doesn't increase, that implies significant growth of 1 to 2%, and indeed it may of course increase. There are quite significant infrastructure upgrade plans through the ARTC that are underway at the moment. Of course the point to note is it's always from the rail perspective, it's always a moving target with improvements in productivity in roads and trucks as well. So that's a second very important transport link. When we turn to the road links, obviously both the Pacific Highway and the New England Highway are parts of the AusLink network. And both routes show quite strong growth, especially on the Pacific. These are essentially forecasts that go out to 2030 that the Bureau will be, which will be part of a report that the Bureau will be releasing soon. And one of the points, I suppose, one of the things that we've seen with the improvement. Obviously, there's a lot more to do, but with the progressive improvement in the Pacific Highway, we've seen to some extent a growing truck traffic share on the Pacific Highway, such that the Pacific Highway share, truck traffic on the Pacific Highway was 22% of the traffic stream in 2005, whereas the New England Highway, where it's no doubt still significant, but had declined to 13% of the traffic stream. And the other point to note, because you will see the very sort of a wide area which implies significant existing traffic and quite strong growth between Maitland, sort of below Singleton, between Maitland and Newcastle on the right-hand chart there. The two governments have the Lower Hunter Transport Needs Study underway at the moment, which really goes very much to the issue of congestion in the sort of more closer to Newcastle region and connections to Sydney and the F3 extension issue. That study is underway to report in November this year. So that's really about it. Just to sum up, obviously we've seen that very strong coastal and near coastal population growth over a longer time perspective, very comparable to state and national trends. Some significant sub-regional contrast, which I think you all know better than I. The lower unemployment in the inland areas, particularly noticeable, and the higher personal incomes, but also less diverse economic base. And the economic performance having moved close to the state average. The transport links, clearly the continuing infrastructure for rail and ports from the coal growth outlook and the great importance of that. North-south road traffic growth, particularly on the Pacific Highway. And thirdly, I really should mention there the important issue of improving regional links and accessibility to Newcastle locally and through to the F3 and Sydney also. So thank you very much.